As Jonathan was saying, it's a new year, and this year we're starting a new sermon series. And apart from having song titles every week, we're going to be looking at what we do when we come together on a Sunday. What are the different elements that make up our services, and why are they important for us as a church to do when we come together? And tonight is an introduction to the whole series, and we're going to be thinking about why actually it is important for us as a church to do that this term. We can have the slide now. So Christmas was only a couple of weeks ago, and Christmas is a time to get presents for people who are close to us, to share our love with them, and to show them that we love them. And I recently came across some funny videos on YouTube of parents who decided that actually it would be funny to get some bad presents for their children and to film it and put it on YouTube. I considered showing a clip tonight, but then decided that it might be a bit cruel as the children didn't like the joke. And quite a few of them threw the present across the room, started shouting and crying because they didn't really understand why they got a box of tissue for Christmas. And while actually most of us don't react in this way when we get a present that we don't like, we have all sorts of things to help us make sure that at Christmas we can get things that we want, whether it is all the Christmas lists that we might provide. All the Christmas lists that we might create to give our friends and family to make sure that they get us the things that we want. And there are all sorts of websites and apps now to help you do that. So this was one of the websites that I was asked by someone in my family to create a list on. And does anyone speak French, and can anyone read out, translate what this means? Otherwise, I'll do it for you. It says, the hashtag says, so that it's the end of rubbish presents. So we've got all sorts of apps and websites and lists to make sure that we can get what we want at Christmas. And even if we don't get what we want, lots of shops have return policies so that if you do get a present you don't like, you might be able to take it back and exchange it. Now, this is only one example that shows us that actually, in our culture, so much is done so that we can get what we want, so that I can get what I want. And because of this, it's easy for us to take some of this into the way that we see church and into the way that we do church. And when we do, our meetings, us coming together, stop being just meetings, but they become me-tings. They're about us. It's about Jesus forgiving my sins. It's about me coming to church so that I can get something out of it. It's about me coming to church so that I can sing songs that I like, or maybe for some of us, that might be a reason to not want to come to church because I don't like the songs. Or it's about me coming to church so that I can meet with my friends. Or maybe I don't want to come to church because I don't have any friends at church. And so we see church as being about us, as being the meetings that we have every Sunday, as being about it fulfilling our needs. And while some of these things are good or not bad in themselves, this is not what our service is and what church is about. Because when that's what we do, we come to church on a Sunday, we sing the songs, we hear talk, something might happen in our hearts, and then we go home and we carry on living our lives. Or maybe we come to church and we go through the motions. And I guess for all of us, at some point, we do that. We sing the songs because that's what we do on a Sunday. And then someone comes and speaks to us. But again, if that's all that church is about. I come to church, I leave the building, and I carry on living my life. But tonight, what we're going to be looking at is that actually this is not what church is about. This is not what our gatherings are meant to be about. And I'd like us to think about what it looks like instead of our meetings being meetings, what it looks like when our meetings become about us joining in a movement that's happening. So I'd like you to open your Bibles with me and turn to Ephesians 2. Thank you. And we'll read the verses 19 to 22. Ephesians 2. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And tonight, I'd like us to focus on verses 21 and 22. And in those verses, we see that us, as a church, we are being compared to a building being built. And not just any type of building, but we are being compared to a temple. Now, this would have made a lot of sense to the people who first read this letter. But because we don't have temples in the way that they did 2,000 years ago, we've lost some of the meaning. So it's important for us to understand what's going on here to look at some of the context. So the temple in Jerusalem was the meeting place between God and people. It was the place on earth where the God of the universe chose to physically dwell among his people. And the temple was a massive building made up of many parts. And God was actually in one tiny piece of the temple called the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could go in once a year, after having followed all sorts of rituals to have purified himself and then to offer blood for the forgiveness of his sins and the sins of the people. The rest of the people would go to the temple to encounter God and they would bring sacrifices, but they had to go to the temple to find life and forgiveness. And then in the New Testament, we see that something changes. Jesus comes and he says, I am the temple. And as he says, I am the temple, we see Jesus going out and reaching out to people. We see Jesus going out and touching people. And where there's illness, he brings healing. Where there's death, he brings life. Where there's no hope, he brings forgiveness. So we see Jesus saying, I am the temple, and going out and reaching to people. And here, in this passage, we see that what Jesus started didn't stop there, but us as his followers, us as his people, we are called to be the temple. And so following Jesus' example, we are called to reach out. And as I was preparing, actually, the thing that really struck me was that the word in the passage that we have read, the word that is used here to say temple, to describe what we are called to be, is the word naos in Greek. And this word is not to describe the whole temple, but it is the word that is used to describe the sanctuary. It's the word that is used to describe the actual place where God's presence dwelt amongst his people. And this place today is not just a building, but this place is each one of us. We are the temple. We are the place where God's presence is. And like Jesus, he calls us to go out and to bring his hope and healing and life into the world. And this is why church and our meetings are not just about what we do on a Sunday and then that's it, I can go home and live my life. They're not an end in themselves. But it's about saying yes to God and being equipped and empowered so that we can go out and bring God's presence, which is within us, with us, wherever we go. And to illustrate this, I'd like you to imagine a sports team before an important match. And just before their match, they have a meeting with a manager, with a coach, and he talks to them about the importance of the match. He might give them some advice and might encourage them and inspire them. Now, what would you think if at the end of this talk, all of the players, instead of going onto the pitch, decide to go home and watch TV? You'd think that that kind of things doesn't happen, because the point of the talk is to inspire them so that they can go out and play the game and win the game. This would not happen. But then, sometimes, this is how we see church. Sometimes, this is how we do church. We come on a Sunday, we sing the songs, we hear someone talk, and then we go home and we carry on living our lives. When actually, because we are the temple, we are the place where God's presence dwells. When we come together, it's about almost about us reporting for duty. It's about us coming together and building each other up. It's about us being equipped and empowered so that by God's Spirit living in us, we can then go out and bring him and share him with the people who are around us. When we come to church on a Sunday, it's about saying yes to God and joining in with what he's doing already, with what he started in Jesus. And it's about recognizing him as who he is and him being in us. So when we sing the songs, it's not just about singing the songs because we like them, but it's about recognizing who God is. It's the same with the talk. It's not because it's a good idea that to have someone up here speaking to us, but it's because it's a space to be inspired and encouraged so that we can go out and bring God's presence with us wherever we go. And this is why this term we're going to be looking in our evening service, we're going to be looking at what we do when we come together as a church every Sunday evening. And this is why it's important, because this is how we're going to grow together and live this stuff out. So Jonathan is going to come now and lead us in a time of response. But if you want to know more about this, this is what we're going to be looking at this term in our evening service.